You show up, you speak up, and you stand up. You show up. Somebody say, show up. Speak up. Stand up. Full disclosure, pastoral disclaimer. Things that you normally won't hear from a pastoral pulpit stage on a Sunday, because it's how the sausage is made. A sermon can either, let me use an analogy here, an example. Sermons either are a massage, a trip to a masseuse, or to a chiropractor. The vast majority of sermons, and I confess, I give these two. So I'm not going like these, no. There are sermons that are massages. They make you feel good. Release the tension. And then they're good. They make you feel good. You walk out going like, hey, hip hop parade. You know, I'm going to take over the world. And it's all spirit empowered, Christ-centered, biblically substantiated. But then there are sermons that are a trip to a great chiropractor. It's not a massage, baby. You get put in some, I'm saying this out of testimony. I've never been to a chiropractor in my life until a couple of months ago. Never been to one. I questioned the legitimacy of chiropractors and all that. And I went into a chiropractor who fixed a bunch of stuff. But the awkward positions, how they put you. They did stuff to my body that wasn't right. They do crazy things like, look this way, and then my hips went that way. Like, who does that? And then what that chiropractor did, an amazing chiropractor, what that person did to my neck was just egregious malfeasance. That noise should not come from your neck. I went like, oh, wow, this is it. Why am I warning you? What does that have to do with the price of chicken? This sermon today is not a massage. So if you came for a massage, come next Sunday. But this is a chiropractor biblical alignment. Part of this sermon is going to make all of us feel uncomfortable, but it's going to put things in alignment. As a pastor, I admit I preach both massages and chiropractor. Today, you're going to hear some things crack. 1 Kings 18, verse 11. And now you say, go tell your master, Elijah is here. We're talking about the prophet Elijah. When Ahab saw him, verse 17, he exclaimed, is it really you, you troublemaker of Israel? You troublemaker of Sacramento? You troublemaker of Lodi, you troublemaker of Stockton, you troublemaker of Granite Bay and Roseville and Rockland, Carmichael, Vacaville, San Francisco. I have made no trouble for Israel, Elijah replied. It's you and your family, hoo-hoo, that are the troublemakers. For you have refused to obey the commandments of the Lord, and you have worshipped the images of Baal instead. Now Elijah just looks at the king of Israel and says, now I'm going to tell you what to do. The prophet telling the president what to do. Summon all of Israel to join me at Mount Carmel, along with the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah. These are all prophet liars, false prophets, who are supported by your wife, Jezebel. So Ahab summoned all the people of Israel and the prophets to Mount Carmel. Verse 21, then Elijah stood in front of them and said, how much longer will you waver, hobbling between two opinions? He's speaking to his own people now. If the Lord is your God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. But the people were completely silent. We're living this again. The first point today is show up. And now you say, go tell your master Elijah's here. If you were here last week, show up. I need you to repeat after me and say, I am here.
I am here.
The first thing, in order for us to create an ecosystem of change, of transformation, it requires you and I to show up.
Yes.
I am here. One more time, say, I am here.
I am here.
Again, last week we talked about all the deterrents, everything hell unleashed to stop you from showing up and being here. Let me repeat, life begins when we show up. Change takes place when we show up. The atmosphere shifts when we show up. What if I tell you Christ is exalted when we show up? God's promises are fulfilled when we show up. Hell trembles when we show up. Heaven rejoices when we show up. Families are saved when we show up. God makes a way when we show up. Doors open when we show up. The world changes when we show up. For when we show up, when I show up, when you show up, we never show up by ourselves. When you, like Elijah, declare, I am here, it is not the eye of narcissism, egocentrism, unbridled humanism, or selfishness. When you declare, I am here, you are declaring, the I am who I am declares that I am. It's here. When you declare, I am here, you're saying the I am of Galatians 2:20 is here. The I am that died with Jesus and resurrected with Christ is here. The I am that is hidden in the finished work of Jesus is here. The I am so filled with the Holy Spirit that it is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me is here. When you are a born again child of God and you declare, I am here, what you are technically saying is we are here. Because in reality, when you show up, you never show up by yourself. You missed it, but you'll get it. Every time you show up as a child of God, every time you are present in mind, body, soul, and spirit, emotionally, intellectually, and financially, you never arrive by yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, somebody shout the word entourage. Somebody shout the word posse. Psalm 23, verse 6 says, goodness and mercy shall follow me some of the days, on the good days, on the holy days, on the sunny days, all the days of my life. Psalm 34, verse 7 says, the angel of the Lord surrounds those who fear him, and he delivers them. Mark 16, 17. These signs will accompany those, will follow those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name, and they will speak in new languages. Hello, Rosetta Stone. When you show up, goodness shows up. When you show up, mercy shows up. When you show up anywhere, angels show up. That's why when you go to Starbucks and order your coffee, it's not just you showing up. It's goodness and mercy. It's signs and wonders. It's the angels of God showing up. And when you show up, more importantly, the Father shows up. The Son shows up. And the Holy Spirit says, I am here. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, that you are the light of the world. Which means when you show up, the light shows up. And darkness must flee. Oh, here it is. Therefore, God is telling you this morning to stop making excuses and show up. Stop going around in circles in life's proverbial desert and show up. Stop playing the victim role and show up. Stop blaming others and show up. Stop waiting for government to solve your problems and show up. Stop waiting for a stimulus check and show up. Stop saying one day and make today that day and show up. Stop being easily offended and show up. Stop bringing up the past and show up. Show up with your prayers. Show up with your praise. Show up with your shout. Show up with your worship. Show up with your love. Show up with your truth. Show up with your forgiveness. Show up with your compassion. Show up with your service to others. Show up and start some trouble. Show up and stir things up. Anybody here ready to show up? Tell your neighbor, I'm ready to show up. Ooh, show up. When Ahab saw him, he exclaimed, is it really you, you troublemaker of Israel? Somebody say, here comes trouble. So let me ask you a question. Let me not assume anything. Are you aware of a troublemaker in your family? Well, you know what? Let's be more self-reflective. Were you the troublemaker in your family? You know who you are because you're smirking right now. The moment the king of Israel saw the prophet, he said, here comes trouble. We do need some holy troublemakers to rise up. And I know you could ask, Pastor Sam, is that biblical? You're asking Christians to be troublemakers. No, I'm just using the language that was used back here, not only in the Old, but in the New Testament. As a matter of fact, let me show you a troublemaker, the quintessential troublemaker, the one that everyone thinks was just beautiful, pristine, quiet, never did anything controversial, Jesus. Floating on a cloud. Really, let me tell you what super quiet lamb Jesus said. Do not think that I have come to bring peace on the earth. Ooh, what happened to that Jesus? He said, I have not come to bring peace, but I have a sword to divide between belief and unbelief. I don't know if you got that right now. Hey, Jesus was not some sort of little quiet, but lamb, introverted. He's not the one that's hanging on a cross like this in perpetuity. The Jesus that we serve is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the host of hosts and the Prince of Peace. The Jesus that we serve, Colossians 2:15, he took every devil, every demon, every legion, every principality, and Colossians says he defeated them publicly, making a spectacle out of them on the cross. That's the Jesus we serve. Acts 17, verse 6 says, they dragged Jason and the other believers out right in the beginning of the church. Paul and Silas have caused trouble all over the world. To be a troublemaker, let me repeat, to be a troublemaker spiritually and prophetically is to flip the script, to stir things up, and to inject a virus in the algorithm of unrighteousness. So I declare there's a generation of troublemakers rising up. Elijah, in the eyes of the king of Israel, was the troublemaker because he confronted sin, moral relativism, cultural decadence, and spiritual apathy. Watch this. Elisha, if you're not privy to this, Elisha was his successor. So Elijah was the spiritual father. Elisha was the spiritual son. As a matter of fact, he trained them. You know the story. We're going to get to it inevitably before the end of this year, or at least before the rapture. So this is a spiritual son. Elisha, this is something you may have never heard about. Elijah confronted Ahab, the king of Israel, his own people. Elisha confronted the foreign kings. You missed it. Assyria, Aram. This Elisha focused on the external threats. Elijah dealt with the fact that his house had to be in order. Our generation needs to put things in order here so the next generation can change the world out there. You're going to get this in a second. Let me repeat it. Elijah confronted the king of Assyria, Elisha, in 2 Kings 8. Elijah confronted the king of Israel in 1 Kings 18. What does this mean, Pastor Sam? Before Elisha caused trouble out there, Elijah caused trouble inside here. What does this mean for us? This is what I told you about the chiropractic session. Here we go. Get ready. Don't be tense. I'm going to give you what the Bible says. Matthew chapter 7, verse 5. This is the words of Jesus, again, not me. Don't get offended with Sam. This is, if you have a problem, text the Holy Spirit. Not my words. I don't make the pizza, I deliver it. Here's the words of Jesus, not mine. This will be, if Jesus would have been alive today, he would have been canceled a long time ago. They would have kicked him off Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. Here we go. Hypocrite! Jesus said that with an exclamation point. Get rid of the log in your own eye. Then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eyes. 1 Peter 4:17 says, for the time has come for judgment, and it must begin with God's house. And if judgment begins with us, what terrible fate awaits those who have never obeyed God's good news? This is hard, so please put on your seatbelt. Here comes the cracking of the bones in your neck. Before we overturn Roe versus Wade in the Supreme Court, we have to overturn Roe versus Wade in the Church of Jesus Christ. Do your biblical due diligence and do your data due diligence as it pertains to abortions. 40% of all abortions in America are committed by people that attend church every single Sunday, or at least 3 to 4 Sundays a month. Put that in perspective. Before we address human sexuality in the culture, we have to address biblical sexuality in the church. Crack, crack, crack. Before we flip the script in the world, we must flip the script in our families, in our churches, in our community. Before we point the finger over there, we need to point the finger over here. Am I preaching to anybody? Let's stop trying to change something out there when we haven't changed that very thing in here first. How about this? We all got upset when the governor of California declared that the church was not essential. But why didn't we get upset when a great number of Christians in California already were behaving like the church was not essential? Are we okay? We have to start trouble in Israel before we start trouble in Assyria. We have to fix what's wrong in our house before we address what's wrong in our neighbor's house. But praise be to God. I'm here to perfectly declare this is the season. God is putting your house in order. God is putting my house in order. Your house, my house, the church in order. God is getting your house in order to give you the legitimacy to crash the gates of hell and take back everything that hell stole from you. If you are willing to let God put things in order in your house first, raise one hand. If you want God to put things in order in your house before this year is over, if you dare to pray, God, whatever it takes, bring order to my house, to my family, to my way of thinking, to my integrity, to my atmosphere, to my family, to my church, so I can have the authority to declare in the name of Jesus the power of God to a broken world. Can I prophesy right now? I believe that God's about to put things in order. There's an alignment going on. This is not a massage, baby. This is a chiropractic. It's a session. God is aligning your spine, your vertebrae, all your C's. He's putting everything in order. But praise be the Lord. Once you walk right, you're about to step in and occupy. Somebody praise like you're about to do it. Somebody shout like you're about to do it. Somebody rejoice like God's about to kick out everything in your life out of alignment with his heart, his will, and his way. He's putting everything right inside of you so you can fix what's wrong outside of you. He's saving you so you can save others. He healed you so you can heal others. He's setting you free so you can set others free. The same God that is doing the work in you is the same God that will do the work through you. I feel the Lord right now. I told you it was going to hurt. God is at work in you. God is at work with you. And God is at work through you. I hear the words, here comes trouble. Look at your neighbor, tell him, here comes trouble. I'm telling you, he's putting your finances in order. He's putting your way of thinking in order. Even in your relationship, he's putting things in order. He's preventing you from certain people. He's surrounding you with the right people because you and your house are about to see the glory of Jesus like you have never seen before. Somebody shout, here comes trouble. Tell your neighbor, here comes trouble. Here comes trouble. Here comes trouble. It's uncomfortable. He's going to tell you, look this way. Then he's going to take your hips, put them this way. He's going to tell you, raise your leg while he stretches your arm. I mean, who does that? And all you hear is a But there were things out of order. And the stress you've been feeling and the tension and the pain is because there were things out of order. So help me God, not making this up. My son Nathan, my wife, they know this, Lauren, because especially Nate, because he's a workout guy, he's amazing. So he knows this because we went through the whole process. December 2019, I'm obsessed with just working out and eating healthy and exercising. On occasion, I still get my pizza and still do my cheating stuff and all that. But I work it out the day after. But I'm an exercise, like OCD about exercising. And I did something silly in December 2019. I did this exercise where I put all the pressure on my C's, my C6, C7, if you know anything about your neck. And I put the pressure there. I should never have pushed. I did. It was heavy weights, and I pressed them. I stretched a nerve. So it's called brachial plexus. It's called a burner in football. But I stretched it. Now, it was crazy. When I stretched that nerve, it went whoop, and I heard the crack. It went click. So I got out of there. I was fine, except I was dizzy. Like, things were like, whoa. What just happened? And to someone who has never done drugs, I went like, whoa. What just happened? So all of a sudden, my fingers started doing their own thing. Like, zoom. I'm walking around and zoom. And zoom. I'm going like, what is this? It's just, it became really weird. So I went to the doctor. They went through a thorough examination to make sure it wasn't anything serious. They went to the most highest of the top guy in the region. And just dotting their I's, crossing their T's, right? They went, you know, hey, Sam, you're perfectly fine. You have a stretched nerve. You have brachial plexus. And I go, all right, now that we know what it is, how do we fix it? They went like, it sometimes takes 6 to 12 months and sometimes a year and a half. Sometimes it never gets fixed. And I'm going, are you kidding me? Oh, we're going to take you through a therapist. So they sent me through a therapist through my health care provider, God bless them. But the therapist never did any of the chiropractor. All they did was give me massages. All I got for how many months was it, honey? I went 3 months, and all I did was go twice a week to a person who will massage my neck. I would walk out, the fingers would still go poof. Sometimes I would preach here on Sunday, and all of a sudden, poof, and y'all thought it was like the Holy Ghost. It wasn't. It was a nerve. Y'all say, oh, pastor's anointed. No. It was my workout. It had nothing to do with the anointing. And then all of a sudden, then I did something silly. I came back from Promise Keepers this year. I worked out. I forgot the exercise that I did a year and a half before that messed me up. Totally forgot. Guess what I did? I re-injured it. So right this summer, I went, no. And the moment I did, I went, no. And 24-hour fitness went, let's stop that guy from ever coming in here again. Oh, man. So I went, I can't go through the dizziness. And I can't. So finally, somebody said, you got to go to a chiropractor. Your problem is not a massage. What you need is an alignment. I go, I went to the best doctors that UC Davis could possibly offer. The teaching doctor who graduated from Stanford. Are you kidding me? You're telling me that your chiropractor is going to do what these guys going to do? The chiropractor will. So I went to the chiropractor. Look over here. Stretch over here. They took my toe. They put it in my ear. Stuff I've never seen before. It's not humanly possible. Your toe cannot go in your ear. But she did that. She happens to be part of our church, actually. She's amazing. So, boop, clack, click, boom, boop, pop, pop. I'm going like, what just happened? I walked out of that place. I went, where's the dizziness? I went, no, this is psychosomatic. You're convincing yourself that you're better. There's no way that this could actually happen. It's putting things in alignment. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing right now. You wanted a massage, but you needed a chiropractor. I sense the Lord. What I tell you right now, I promise you, we're getting to the end of the year. God is putting things in order as I speak. In the next few days and weeks, prophetically, spiritually speaking, even relationally speaking, you're going to hear some noise. You're going to hear some things. You're going to see some awkward positioning. But let not your heart be troubled. God is saying, I am putting things in alignment because you're about to walk upright like you've never walked before. And you're about to occupy what you've never occupied before. And you're about to conquer what you've never conquered before. If you believe it, give God one more praise like you believe it. If you're ready for an alignment, stand with me right now. If you're open for God to put things in order, stand with me. If you got the word, raise your hand. Alignment. Just lift up your hands. I sense the Lord. Just alignment. 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 Oh, troublemakers, God is putting things in order. He's just putting things in order. In your mind, he's putting thoughts in order. He's putting thoughts in order. The memories of your past will no longer lead the way. He's saying, no, they belong in the right place under the blood of Jesus.
But it's really about a plow and a mantle. Life is about seasons where we are pushing. And we're pushing through work and family and home and relationships and faith. And then all of a sudden, just like Elijah, God places a deposit upon each and every one of us. Because I am believing in the name of Jesus that before this is over, you're going to go from a plow to a mantle, and you're going to walk out of an anointing that will enable you to change your life for the glory of Jesus. So I'm speaking prophetically to every plow pusher right now. With your right hand, lift it up. Here it is, to every mom and dad, husband and wife, married and single, entrepreneur and creative, who has been pushing the plow. If you've never pushed the proverbial plow, do not expect to carry the mantle. Galatians 6:9, do not grow weary of doing what is right. In your appointed time, you will reap a harvest of blessings if you do not give up.